This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully today. Time now to go out to our Turo Tire Hotline. Turo, your hometown tire, Turo.com. Out to Tokyo we go. Tommy Hotovy is a pitching coach for the Cubs, and he joins us now. Good morning, or good Friday night, Tommy. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. Yes, it's a good evening here on our end, but yeah, good morning to you.
So what has been the best part of the trip so far from your perspective?
I mean, getting to go over and see the Tokyo Dome was really fun. We got to get out there for the first day, like a little bit of a workout, and then today for our team workout, and just seeing the fans and the passion that they have, even for a practice, you know, lining up for BP and seeing the team today. But by far the party that Shota and Seiya threw basically the first night we were in, just getting to see such amazing cultural history and the attention to detail that they put together to kind of welcome us to their home, and the pride that you see both him and Seiya have to have us, you know, here in their home and them get to host us, was truly an amazing night that first night.
That's pretty cool. I mean, because you think of both of those guys as just being very respectful. Both of them are filled with humility. But now, Tommy, they're out there owning the place. They're showing you guys what it's all about. That's got to be pretty cool.
It was. And one of the coolest things, like Shota, the first night we got here, Shota was just like kind of just gushing with excitement and just basically said, "Welcome to my home." And during the party, we had this amazing event, and he brought a food truck with udon noodles to the party. And it's this really fancy party, but he wanted to bring this food truck because he said he grew up on udon noodles and eating from these food trucks. And it was like soul food for him. So he wanted everybody to get to experience it. And it's just the little details like that just show you how much these guys care and wanted to just show us, you know, what it was like to be part of their culture and where they grew up.
So, Tommy, from what I understand, when you had the workout at the Tokyo Dome, was that open to the public? And whether it was or not, how many Cub fans have you seen there? Is it something, it's not like your typical road trip, obviously, but I just wonder, have you seen firsthand some Cub fans who have made you feel a little bit more welcome?
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. The first day was just kind of a quick, just, you know, show up and play catch and get the body moving. But then today, I say today, you know, for us today, we had a workout that was open to the public, and there was fans that were there from, you know, the minute we showed up, and a lot of Cubs fans, a lot of Cubs jerseys in the stands, a lot of Imanaga jerseys and Seiya Suzuki jerseys. So the Cubs fans are definitely here, and they're definitely, you know, excited to see us play in person. It was a really neat experience to get to do the workout in front of fans and throw kids baseballs and just, you know, interact with a lot of the fans that are here to watch us play.
We were just kicking it around off the air, Tommy, about the breakdown of Cubs Dodgers fans, and we admitted, like, you know, it's because Shohei, it's the Dodgers, the World Series and all that, like, I would think maybe there'll be more Dodgers fans out there, but have you felt a ratio out there in terms of Cubs and Dodgers fans so far at all, Tommy?
It's hard to say. I think these first few days, it'll be really interesting when we're playing these exhibition games, you know, what that looks like. There's definitely a lot of Ohtani fans.
I could tell you
that much. I mean, he's on every billboard. I feel like everywhere you turn, he's got his own, you know, drinks and his own, you know, deodorant and his own, you know, clothing line. It's, you know, he's everywhere, and for good reason. I mean,
sure.
he's a you know, premium talent, and obviously a marketable person. But no, I feel like the Cubs fans have done a great job showing up and representing, and I'm excited to see what that looks like when the games start.
So, Tommy, we heard a cool clip from Craig Counsell on the Marquee Sports Network talking about a word he used, Kizuna, about the Japanese word for bonding and the value and of what this is to the team in terms of coming together at the beginning of a season. On the other hand, I'm sure from a coaching perspective, you worry about some of the details and technical things that you're used to fine-tuning during the end of spring training before a season begins. How do you balance those two things? Because you're having a memorable trip of a lifetime, and you're also starting an 162-game season where you're typically focusing on fundamentals. And I imagine that's a difficult balance to strike.
Yeah, I think it's a long season. You know, in any way you look at it, there's going to be big points of the year that you feel like you can look back on and say, okay, because of this time, you know, this helped us get through a lot of challenging things. And I think we did such a great job, and our players did such a great job of coming to spring training prepared to work on the things they needed to work on and be ready to hit this challenge that we have in front of us. So, you know, they've afforded the opportunity to take a little bit of a step back in terms of, like, not getting to work on the field every single day and focus more on this bonding. And one thing that Shota said was the relationship, you know, between all of us, and continue to grow that bond. And it's an amazing experience, and it's one that I know we're going to be able to fall back on in tough times throughout the year, having gone through, you know, this together. And you get to know your players, your players, your friends, your teammates, your coaches in a different lights. It's been fun. It's been fun just to get to even be around the position players on my end that I don't get to spend as much time with in spring training. You know, we're getting a lot more one-on-one time right now, which is a good, you know, great thing for us to be going through.
That's very cool. Shota Imanaga obviously will be the starting pitcher for the Cubs. He was terrific last year. He was lights out early in the season, especially. I guess the question is, Tommy, what does he do for an encore? Because it's still obviously very important that Shota Imanaga is good or great again for you guys this year.
Yeah, you know, Shota's, we all saw it last year. He's got phenomenal stuff. He's an amazing talent. He's incredibly intelligent, student of the game. All the things we heard about when he came over, now he wants to be better. He wants to continue to find ways to be better, and he's never satisfied. That's one thing that I've noticed just being around him, you know, more over this last year, is that he's always trying to find a new edge. He's always trying to find a new way to improve, and whether it's perfecting a certain pitch or adding a pitch to his repertoire, or, you know, cleaning up something in his delivery or his routine, whatever that might be, he's always trying to find a way to grow as a professional and as a person. And so I'm really excited for him to get to unleash some new toys. I think his slider is as good as we saw it all season last year, if not better. And he's really looking forward to unleashing it, you know, in a much higher capacity this year. And then you add in the fact that he continues to want to round out his repertoire in other ways as well. So it's gonna be fun. He knows what his strengths are. He knows what he does really well. And then he's going to continue to showcase what he's been working on over the winter.
All right, Tommy, so which Cub player or coach has been having the most fun on this trip from your perspective, and how does your kimono fit?
Hey, we had amazing. We had the wives were all wearing the kimonos, you know, the other night at the party. We had these amazing jackets, and it was a great time. We had some coaches going up there and doing like these umbrella twirling, juggling acts. A couple guys helped cut the tuna last night. There's been a lot of stuff going on.
I love it.
It was amazing. But I'll be honest with you, like watching Seiya and Shota, no one's having more fun than those two. No one is. And Seiya today at the workout was stretching next to PCA, and he took PCA's hat off and was showing all the fans with stars on his head, you know. And,
that's so cool. It
really is. No one's having more fun than those guys, and with, you know, they should. You know, they're enjoying it and they're really having a great time.
Bears,
Tommy, do you pay attention to what's going on with your Chiefs? Because they lost Joe Tooney to the Bears.
Joe Tooney's right here.
I don't know if you realize that or not. Not to ruin your trip or anything or put a damper on the fun you're having, but Joe Tooney is a Bear.
Hey, he's going to be a great Bear. You know, I mean, we're obviously going to miss him, you know, in that line. And anybody that protects Patrick Mahomes is a valuable investment. So, you know, you hate to see him go, but I mean, he's from the people that I've talked to around the Chiefs and the guys that had been around there. A lot of them, you know, valued him as the MVP of a lot of what they did over the last few years. Obviously, Mahomes gets a, you know, rightfully MVP, but in terms of like the internal guys and what a guy means to an organization, I know people speak very, very highly of Joe, and he'll be a good Bear, I'm sure.
Only one baseball question from me before we let you go, Tommy. I know, and if you can't address this, I know you'll tell us you can't. But Bob Nightingale had a report that the Cubs are negotiating with Lance Lynn, who will be 38 in May. And I just wonder, from your perspective, is Lance Lynn a pitcher that's got something left in the tank?
You know, I can't speak to that directly. I personally haven't heard, you know, anything on the Lance Lynn front. In terms of Lance in general, obviously he's an uber competitor. We've seen him across the way, you know, with the White Sox, with the Cardinals, with some great teams. And I never count guys out. We have plenty of guys now that are in their late 30s that are at the top of their game, that are pitching really well and playing really well. So, but nothing on my end on that. So, you know, we're obviously over here dialed in on winning some ball games and getting this season started off right.
Well, best of luck in everything next week when the season starts on Tuesday. I hope you have a great weekend with your family and the entire Cubs traveling party. And really, thank you for joining us, because I know that it's probably been a very long day. And, you know, thanks for staying up late on a Friday night to let us know how the trip's been going.
Of course. Anytime, guys. Hope you're doing great. Thank you.
Thanks, Tommy. Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach, live from Tokyo. Pretty cool.
Really good stuff. Did I go Bears prematurely there? Was it just a little
bit? No, that was good.
It was good timing on my part?
Good timing.
Okay. Yeah,
you got to know. He said about Joe Tooney what everyone said about Joe Tooney.
Great guy.
And from a Chiefs fan, you could hear the disappointment in his voice.
Yes. Did I ever tell you that I was in a workout room in a hotel when I was on the Cubs tour when they drafted Patrick Mahomes, and Tommy Hotovy was on the bike next to me, and he was the one telling me, he was like, this guy's gonna be good.
Really?
He was like, but I think it's like any fan of any team, you make a case, but he was like, look out for this guy. He's like, this guy's good. And I've never forgotten that.
Well,
never
he's pretty that. Good at predicting things about right-handers.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haugh on 670 The Score.
As the Bears begin to introduce the newest members of the team via trade or via free agency, who is the biggest name or signing of this bunch? And can there be a marquee player among a group of offensive and defensive linemen?
Well, that's all we have to choose from so far because the Bears have attacked the interior lines on both sides of the line of scrimmage well. I don't know the personalities yet. And none of us really do, I guess, so it's a difficult question to answer. But if I were to say the most accomplished has got to be Joe Tooney because of the rings, but when I look at the marquee value, the biggest name, maybe biggest personality, Grady Jarrett comes to mind. The guy that we'd heard from NFL films and isn't afraid to do a little trash talking on the field. You bet he can, you get the sense he can be strong in the locker room with his example. And he seems like he's one of those guys that wouldn't be afraid to call a meeting or to get in somebody's face and be able to have...
No more meetings, please.
Okay, no more meetings. No more leadership council. He might be a council of one. But if I'm going to answer this, I would say Grady Jarrett. And I hope that we hear from several of the newest Bears later today at Hallis Hall.
Grady Jarrett makes a lot of sense, and the audio that we played in the pregame show from his former defensive coordinator really kind of gets you pumped about the fact this is a sideline-to-sideline guy. But I think Joe Tooney, David, is the answer, and I think it goes back to things that Olin Krutz has said on the station many times. You know, the farther you get away from the football is the farther you get away from football. I like that one a lot, especially from a guy who touched the ball on every single offensive snap. And the other part is that I believe Joe Tooney will have a C on his jersey and not just a C for Chicago.
What about Jarrett? Will he be a C too?
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. I think there's a better chance that Joe Tooney is. I mean, hopefully both.
I covered Joe Tooney in New England, and that was a guy that when the offensive line, whether there was a win or a loss, and it was because of the offense line, Tom Brady comes in to his podium with a clean jersey and he's talking about how the guys kept him clean, or whether it was a game where, you know, things didn't go well. You always wanted to talk to the linemen. And that's something that's bothered me about this Bears team for a couple years now, is that there's no real leader on that offensive line, no one that you want to go to and hear what they have to say about what went wrong, who's going to take accountability on that offensive line when things don't go right. Joe Tooney is someone that you want to hear from. He's a guy that will be a leader. And I think the most important thing about Joe Tooney is that that's someone that Caleb Williams can look at, not on the field, but off the field, and say, that's someone that's been around winning, knows how to win. I want to follow his lead. That's why Joe Tooney is the most important piece that they've added so far.
Personality-wise, what's he like?
The nicest. Very nice. I mean, very kind, respectable. Any attitude.
You know
whatsoever.
How scrums get. You know how media corps can be. They can ask redundant questions.
You're not going to want to. He's one of those guys that you are going to have so much respect for, and you're going to ask with genuine authenticity about what went well, what went right, not accuse him of any wrongdoing.
How does he suffer fools? Some people don't. Craig Counsell's got no business. He's not, no interest in like suffering fools. He just very matter of fact.
Yeah.
He is a dry sense of humor. I respect him for that, and he's very good. I just wonder, some guys can't be bothered with that part of the job.
Nah, I don't think so. I think Joe Tooney will be front-facing, and I think he'll take accountability, and I think he's going to be a huge asset to the other guys on the line.
She's Ruthie Polinsky. She's in for Mully today. When we come back, the Bears keep making their division rivals a little envious. We'll hear from one of them when we come back. It's Mullion Haugh, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Bro, I feel like the Bears have unlimited money. This is crazy. They're just signing new for like 40,
boom,
50 million.
Boom, boom.
Jonah Jackson, bang. Drew Dahlman, bang. Deo,
I don't know how to pronounce
the last name.
No, go give it a try.
Deo Adeyingbo. Another, I saw
Adeyingbo.
Yeah. A crazy amount of money. Grady Jarrett, bang. Like, they're just breaking everybody off.
They're trying to get an O-line for Caleb. They have unlimited money.
What the f*** is this?
I mean, their cap space is probably... They probably have a high cap space.
I mean, hot. Ben's just making moves left and right. I'm like...
You're seeing it happen. Like, bang, Bears. Like,
welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670. The Score. Ruthie Polinsky in for Mully today. That was... Amon-Ra St. Brown from the St. Brown Brothers podcast. We'd like to thank them for providing all the content offseason. Very good, very jealous, a little green with envy. That's a team that is the class of the division still, but it sounds very much like somebody who feels like they're bad case of FOMO.
We talked about it yesterday on the Big Pro Football Show, but it's almost like we asked if Amon-Ra St. Brown sounded a little nervous. I agree with you. I think he sounded jealous. And what I think is interesting about sort of that dynamic is the Ben Johnson effect. Like, you know, Ben's making all these moves. Ben's getting an O-line around Caleb. So you think about guys like Drew Dahlman, who reportedly turned down more money elsewhere and came to the Bears. And you just start to think about, is this Ben Johnson effect, the Caleb Williams effect, the O-line effect? Is it going to attract some free agents? Is it going to be make Chicago a destination?
That's the takeaway, is that you wonder to what degree that will happen or has happened. I would like some more reporting on the Drew Dahlman turn down more money to come to Chicago story. That was thrown in as a CBS Sports
report. I'm running
with
it. No, I'm just
kidding. Well, I think that Jonathan Jones put it out there, and I didn't see it followed up on, and I don't know who that team was or what the reasons were. But it would square, because if you're Drew Dahlman and you have an opportunity to line up next to Joe Tooney and play for a play caller like Ben Johnson and get paid all of the money, you're still going to get paid handsomely. The second highest paid center in football. So it would make sense, but I'd like to know who that team was.
And it also draws me to the conversation that our colleague Clay Harbor had with his former coach Andy Reid over the weekend, who Andy Reid told Clay that Joe Tooney wanted to come to Chicago. So take with that what you mean. Hopefully we'll get to ask Joe Tooney about that soon. But
maybe today, Hallis Hall, 3 o'clock. Ben Johnson, Ryan Poles expected to meet the media. Maybe some other players have yet to be announced, but maybe that's a guy who is going to be front-facing, as you point out. The Amon-Ra St. Brown thing is interesting, too, from another level, because you look at what you want to give him all the credit, because he has made himself into a Pro Bowl caliber, difference-making wide receiver. Slot guy, you play him wherever, actually, but he finds a way to get open, and he's great after the catch. He was a fourth-round draft pick. So was Amon-Ra St. did he make the offense more dangerous, or did the offense make him more dangerous? The scheme, the way that they schemed him open, the way that they surrounded him with other weapons that commanded attention, he just found the holes in the defense, and he was able to emerge because the play calling was so smart and the scheme so strategic that he became a fourth-round draft pick that now feels like an indispensable part of that offense.
I would take him. Here.
Well, you take him in a moment.
I take the next.
But he's not going anywhere.
Right.
See, that's the point, though.
That's right.
Who can be
the next?
The next Amon-Ra St. Brown for the Bears. And does that player need a pedigree before you trust that possibility, or before you believe that that's even feasible? Because Amon-Ra St. Brown came to the Lions without much of a pedigree. A fourth round pick from USC, and college career, okay, right? But it wasn't like All-American status, was he? Unless I am for...
He's a fourth-round pick.
He's a fourth-round pick. So I think that you look at that offense the Bears are going to run with Ben Johnson, and you wonder who they might be able to make into a version of Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Maybe it's Tyler Scott.
Maybe it's Tyler Scott. Maybe it is. I don't know. I don't want to diminish his possibility or capability. He's got to show better hands. He's got to be more dependable. You have to know where he is at all times. Those kinds of things. And maybe in this offense, it's going to be tailor-made for somebody like that. I would like
he's
to see
too
them.
Too small. He's so... He's small.
Yeah, but Amon-Ra St. Brown is bigger. I guess he is. Amon-Ra St. Brown is bigger than you think. He's 6 feet, 200 pounds. And Tyler Scott, as they once that once affectionately referred to him as Little Scott, isn't that big in stature. So there's a spot in this offense for a guy like that. He's 5'11"?
185.
Okay.
According to Wikipedia.
Rather slight.
He's probably 5'8".
Rather slight of stature.
If he was on Hinge or a dating app, you'd take off 3 inches.
I would not know anything about that.
Back in my day.
Back in your day.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
With so much about the Cubs this week, about travel itineraries, Japanese photo ops, is there any concern that baseball is taking a backseat at a time teams usually fine-tune the fundamentals before going a long distance? Will this trip end up being a positive or a negative?
Admittedly, this is the Dustin Rhodes question because I felt a little bit funny feeling funny about the Cubs trip. I love the way they're having fun and getting the most out of this experience. I also realize it's not like a spring break trip. It's a baseball trip. And usually baseball, around this time in March, 2 weeks before the season, we're concerned about teams having, you know, their pitchers sharp, their hitting strokes on time, fundamentals being stressed. And then if they get off to a bad start, it's like, we should have been sharper in spring training. We're a little sloppy. Are the Cubs going to be sloppy this year? I admit that's a meatball reaction to a trip that is a memorable one for the Cubs. I love seeing all of the pictures and all of the video. I love seeing Justin Turner in a kimono. I love all that stuff. We're talking to Tommy Hotovy in 10 minutes. I'm sure it's going to be like the trip of a lifetime. I hope they're ready for the season. I hope they're ready for the season, and it's more than just this Kizuna that Craig Council talks about. We'll get to that later. The Japanese word for bonding. I hope it's more than just a bonding trip. I want them to be good at baseball when they get back, and they don't lose something by taking a couple days off. I know that's an irrational thought. I get somewhat irrational when it comes to Cubs things, but I do want them to come back and not be like, oh, geez, we let things slide.
They never should have gone to Japan in the first place.
We never took batting practice 2 days in a row.
Man. Kizuna,
if I'm saying the word right.
Yes. Much like me saying words right. TBD, these games count. That's what everybody's got to remember. These games count. The other part for avid Cub fans, and I like to think I speak for a lot of avid Cub fans, these are two less games at Wrigley Field this year. These are Wrigley Field games. These are Cubs home games in Japan. I don't like games being taken away from Wrigley Field. As long as the Cubs aren't a game short when it gets to playing baseball in Craigtober, if that actually is going to exist, then fine. But you can't come out of there 0-2 and have guys hurt. It looks like they're having a blast. It looks like it's way better than laser tag. The other person I'm going to keep an eye on is Jameson Taillon because he's over there running around playing Pokemon. And that kind of bothers me a little bit.
You two are going to...
He said baseball first, but Pokemon second.
Yes,
okay,
thank you.
And like, I don't need that in print.
I've never felt closer to you, Dustin.
You two, when the Cubs have their first four-game losing streak, the two of you are going to be insufferable. You're going to be Pokemon if they were doing all this Pokemon stuff. This
Pokemon stuff. Just throw a fastball.
I like, just to answer the question, you're probably right. You're probably right on the overall that while fun in they're having fun in Japan, this is not ideal for anybody. I will bet you that when the Cubs were told that they're told they're going to Japan,
yeah,
right? They don't have any say in it, correct?
I think so.
I'm probably pretty sure that there wasn't anybody in the organization who was like, oh, yay, we get to be the team. I'm sure Craig Council is like, oh, good God, we got to go to Japan to play. There's maybe a few guys who are interested in it.
I don't think he was talking about Kizuna then.
But for the most part, this is a big pain in the butt for everybody. But here's the thing, man.
Okay.
Just don't blow a bunch of saves to start the season. Okay. That's really what it comes down to. That's
But if they do, what are you going to say? Well, if he wouldn't have gone to maybe Japan.
I'm going to say bring back Albert Alzolay. That's what I'm going to say. Where's Heart Attack Hector? Ryan Presley and Porter Hodge. So, yeah, I mean, but that's just it, though. It's so important that Craig Counsell specifically gets the Cubs off to a fast start last year and more than 83 wins for the Cubs.
And that's why you feel okay about it, because of the way he's handling these moments. And you feel confident that they won't let this be a reason for a slow start if they have one.
Yes.
There's a lot of confidence in Counsell.
Yeah, this is a weirdly must-win season for a lottery. For Jed Hoyer's sake, for Craig Counsell's credibility.
A lot of urgency.
Like, there is urgency.
What's the Japanese word for urgency?
Well, that's a good question, Dustin.
Because I think that's what we want to know.
Wait, Fryer speaks it fluently, doesn't he? No.
Does he? All right. We're going to go to Japan when we come back.
Oh.
We're going to go out to Japan because our guy, Tommy Hadovy, who is a regular on this show every Wednesday morning during the baseball season. I think we're going to do that again. It's so much fun. Tommy Hadovy from Japan. We're going to connect with him when we come back. It's Mullion Hall with Grody in for Mully, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Kizuna, if I'm saying the word right.
Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Ross Tucker Podcast.
Caleb Williams. I have some friends that are Bears fans, obviously. I mean, I haven't seen Bears fans as excited as they took Justin Fields 3 years ago. Hopefully this works out better.
Analyst for Westwood One.
Bully ball up front. It's just inside zone to the left. That's as physical of a play as you get.
Ross Tucker with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
If Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift came on, I would rock out because that song's awesome.
Welcome back. It's Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Gorgeous Thursday morning. Mark Grody's in for Mully. And we are pleased to welcome onto the Aturo Tire Hotline, Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com, Ross Tucker, the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, who you can check out on social media at Ross Tucker NFL. Good morning, Ross. How are you?
Good, David. How are you doing?
Doing well. Busy week in Chicago. Fun off season for the Bears. They introduced three new guys yesterday, Joe Tooney, Jonah Jackson, and Grady Jarrett. And Ross, it was an impressive display of just veteran charisma, moxie, and many impressive credentials. Just curious how you would describe, from the outside of Chicago perspective, what the Bears have accomplished so far this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's probably why you brought me on. I'm a former interior offensive lineman, so I love it, right? You know, why did people value us this much when I was playing? I don't get it. Now it's like everybody realizes, everybody feels like guards and centers are so important. Back in the day, it was like, oh, just put anybody left guard. Like, put Ross Tucker left guard. It doesn't really matter. They're all the same. I mean, it really is funny how it changes, and it's changed quite a bit. I think, in particular, we'll start with the guys they got to have on the offensive side of the ball. Like, I think Joe Tooney, what he did for the Chiefs last year, now I'm a little bit surprised, I guess, that he hasn't made more All Pros and more Pro Bowl appearances. But you know, to me, he's a guy that has like a shot at the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's had a ridiculous career in terms of winning and playoff games and success and multiple positions and durability and all of those things. I hope that guys like Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright, I hope they just watch Joe Tooney and what he does every day and try to do the exact same thing. I think it's critically important to beef up the interior of the offensive line. I'll tell you why. It's funny because I actually had Greg Cosell, the NFL Films legend, on my show, the Ross Tucker Podcast, this morning. He made a really interesting point about, you know, Caleb Williams really causing a lot of his own sacks and Caleb Williams not being that tall of a guy, right? He's whatever he is, 6'1". You know, I think it's really important that he feels comfortable and that he's not getting pushed up the middle and you're not making it harder for him to be able to see down the field. I think that's something that Ben Johnson realized. You know, like, hey, with what we want to do here, we really got to be firm up the middle so that Caleb Williams has plenty of line of sight and vision, can step up. And they're trying to get him to be as comfortable as possible. Ideally, you know, would Caleb Williams be the type of quarterback that gets rid of the ball quicker, maybe sees things faster and doesn't take as many sacks? Yeah, and you don't have to spend this much money on the interior offensive line? Yes, he would be, but that's not the type of player he is. He throws a beautiful ball. He has tremendous ability in terms of second reaction plays. What they're trying to do is they're trying to have him not have to try to make as many second reaction plays, and they're trying to have him be as comfortable as possible within the context of the offense, you know, when he drops back to pass. So he can show off the beautiful ball that he can throw.
You mentioned the other two guys on the O-line. I mean, of course, the interior dudes, Jonah Jackson, Joe Tooney, and eventually Drew Dolman when we talked to him today. And then you mentioned the right on the at right tackle. And then Braxton Jones. With those three new interior guys, Ross, does it make it – will those guys make Braxton Jones better?
I think so, yeah. I think there's a couple things about that, right? Number one, if you feel better about your right guard and right tackle to some extent, but right guard, you can slide the line to the left more often, and you can protect Braxton Jones' inside, and Tooney obviously could do that very well. But I also think, you know, Braxton Jones is not going to have to worry about twists and stunts as much. He's going to be able to know, okay, I just got to lock in on my guy. There should be very little in the way of thinking for Braxton Jones. I mean, first of all, look, it's year four for him, okay? He's got to be ready. Like, whatever he does this year, this is as good as he's going to be. It's year four. He's going to be next to Joe Tooney. Whatever we see from Braxton Jones the first half of the year, that's what he is, and that's what we're going with. But I do think Joe being able to say, here comes a TE, here comes a stunt, here comes a blitz, like Joe has seen it all, you're really going to hopefully take most of the thinking out of it for Braxton Jones so he can just use that big body, you know, those long arms, that physical ability without having to have some of the mental processing that might otherwise slow him down.
Talk with Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Podcast here on Mully and Haw with Mark Grody in for Mully. So, Ross, when you look at what these moves, filling five starting positions in less than a week is an aggressive start to this offseason for the Bears. But when you look specifically at where those jobs were, both on the offensive and defensive lines, is this Ryan Poles getting the message? Is this Ben Johnson's influence? How do you view why the Bears have been so aggressive? And also, sorry, but it might be cynical to say, but how they're taking such a common sense approach for a team that hasn't always grasped the obvious?
Well, I think it's definitely a combination, clearly, of Ben Johnson and the experience he had in Detroit with one of the two, maybe three best offensive lines in the NFL, and knowing what he needs to be able to do with his offense. And then, you know, Ryan Poles, obviously, he's a former offensive lineman. So, you know, it's not like they haven't invested resources before, you know, whether it was Nate Davis or Bates or, you know, they've signed guys. I think those guys have not worked out as well as they wanted to. And so, you know, we can sit here and we can say those were bad moves by Poles, or we can realize that at this point, those are a sunk cost. Not every GM hits on every move they make, and Ryan is trying to rectify that. But, you know, I'm very bullish. And the last part about that, they're not the only ones doing this. Have you seen what the Vikings are doing?
Yes, yes, good point.
You know, the Vikings, it's almost like everybody watched the Eagles in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, and they were like, huh, All right. Well, we better not be bad, because let's be honest. I mean, if you want to go far in the playoffs in the NFC, you're going to play against the Eagles more than likely. And, you know, if your O-line and D-line get their butts kicked, it's going to be really hard to win that game. Really hard to win that game. So that's why the Vikings got Jonathan Allen and Javon Hargrave on the D-line. They got Ryan Kelly and Will Fries on the O-line. And it's why Ben Johnson and Poles knew that they need to bring these guys in. I still think Grady Jarrett has something left, so I like that signing quite a bit. I like the idea of having him opposite of Montez Sweat because, you know, like I just said earlier about Braxton Jones, you can slide the offensive line, right, one direction or the other. You can't slide it both ways. So what I like is, hey, you're worried about Montez Sweat, and you should be. Okay, let's put Grady Jarrett and maybe Grady Jarrett and Odengbo on the other side, and they'll both have one-on-ones as you slide the Sweat. That is a beautiful thing. I mean, that because Grady Jarrett can still – he's still got some juice, and that Odengbo guy, he's got some serious juice. A lot of teams really liked him. So – this is the thing that you need. You can't just have one guy that can rush the passer like Sweat. You got to have three guys like this, and now they have it. Now they actually have that, and so they can attack Jordan Love and Jared Goff and these guys in waves.
You're right about Odengbo. I mean, he's impressive. He's a lot of scouts love him. A lot of GMs love Odengbo. Any insight from you as to why a guy like that has not had bigger numbers? Because 2 years ago was his best season in his 4 years with eight sacks. What is that a matter of, and why do GMs think that this guy is going to be a success?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of that is they have some other guys that they were playing, you know, in some of those spots. I think that's part of it. You know, the Colts drafted Latu. He was the first defensive player drafted a year ago, right? So he was playing. You know, he was going to be out there, and he's a guy they wanted to be out there. They also had inside DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart. So on some level, you know, the Colts kind of had other guys that they featured more, I think, is probably the best way to describe it.
Okay.
You know, remember this. They took Kwity Paye in the first round in 21. They took Latu in the first round last year. You guys know you always follow the money. Those guys are going to get a lot of snaps. They have a GM that's kind of on the hot seat down there. He's trying to justify, you know, the moves that he's made. So those guys were going to get most of the snaps at edge. And Tyquan Lewis, they took in the second round, right? So they had a bunch of guys that they needed to have out there. But Odengbo, you think about how he's done on a per-snap basis in terms of, you know, pressures and at least winning those one-on-ones, even if it wasn't, you know, this year he still had 17 quarterback hits, right? Still had seven tackles for loss. 17 quarterback hits is a lot. I mean, that's a good year for a guy that was a rotational player in there. And at 6'6", 286, you know, they don't make many guys like that play at the end, 6'6", 286. I actually like the idea of him at times being able to come inside and rush from the inside.
When you look around the league, Ross, and you see, you mentioned the Vikings building from within, but they still have a question, I think, what are they going to do? Are they going to replace Sam Darnold at quarterback? You look at the Steelers, and they're on hold for Aaron Rodgers, as the Giants are as well. Russell Wilson's visiting Cleveland because he doesn't know quite what's next for him. How do you see this quarterback carousel stopping, and when it does, where will these quarterbacks be?
Yeah, I mean, the Aaron Rodgers thing is fascinating, right? I mean, the Jets took a $49 million cap hit to not have him on the team, and yet he's the top option for multiple other teams. I mean, I think the Vikings would probably love to have him. The Steelers, they're all in on him. I mean, let's think about this for a second, guys. Imagine you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, and let's say Aaron Rodgers picks the Giants, or let's say he picks the Vikings, whatever. You got to call up Russell Wilson, and you got to say, hey, Russell, you were always our guy. We've loved you all along, even though we know they tried for Matthew Stafford first, Justin Fields second. I mean, I don't even wonder. I wonder how Aaron Rodgers feels.
Yeah.
He's not dumb. He knows he's the third choice.
Wow.
You know, he's the Steelers' third choice, which is probably why he's kind of and he's also, you know, at least the Giants' second choice. You know, they wanted Stafford. They went after Stafford hard. That's the other thing, right? You know, Rodgers, I think he might have the same agent as Stafford. At a minimum, though, he knows that Stafford was offered like $50 million. So Rodgers, in case you aren't familiar, might have a little bit of an ego, okay? So a little bit, just a little bit. So can you imagine Rodgers like having to say to the Giants, okay, I'll come there for half what you offered Matthew Stafford.
Ooh.
I'll come there for 20. You want to talk about, this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think he's really doing some soul searching right now. This is the first time in his life he hasn't been the belle of the ball. This is the first time, you know, maybe not in his life, because remember what happened in the draft, but this is the first time in 20 years that, you know, he's got other people that they don't want him as much. And I think maybe that's why he's making them wait now. You know, maybe it's like, maybe this is his way of kind of making them say, listen, I'm still the boss here or whatever. I mean, it's just, you know, the guy, it's so funny because he has every right to take as much time as he wants. He's 40 years old. He's still playing pro football. You know, maybe he retires. I don't know. He has every right to take as much time as he wants. But he's currently, right now, reinforcing one of the reasons why these teams didn't want him in the first place. Because he's a drama king. You know what I mean? Like, it's the whole situation is just amazing. Hopefully, my guess is he's got a video crew videoing the whole thing so he can post it on YouTube or whatever when it's open.
Ross, that's great insight, and that's great information as well. We always like having you on because he also gives you a chance to talk about very unique gift, myfrontpagestory.com, something that is very near and dear to your heart.
Well, I got to tell Mark about it now.
Yeah.
I always tell you and Molly, now I got to tell Mark.
That's
Mark,
right.
My buddy started this company. All I'm telling you is it is by far the best gift I've ever seen to give, like, your wife or your mom or whatever. They write a story about how amazing your mom, your wife, whoever is. It looks like it's on the cover of the newspaper, like the Chicago Tribune, framed, beautiful. I would be shocked. I don't care, Mark, if you get it for your mom, wife, or both. They will cry. Make sure you take a pretend you're Aaron Rodgers. Make sure you take a video of them when you give it to them. And then if they don't cry, I'd be stunned. MyFrontPageStory.com. Anniversaries, birthdays, Mother's Day will be here soon. MyFrontPageStory.com. David's already gotten 7 for everybody he knows. Now it's your turn, Mark.
I'll take 3. I'll take 3 right now.
I love it. I love it. We can make that happen.
Right. For mom, wife, girlfriend. Done.
Ross, thanks so much. Great stuff. We'll look forward to talking to you next time.
See you, man.
See you guys.
Ross Tucker from the Ross Tucker Podcast.
Well, that was a nice little treat there at the end. I didn't know he had something before us.
He
That's
does.
Very cool. I like
he
that.
He always does.
That's a cool concept.
It is a cool concept.
Yeah.
Ron Coomer on deck.
And Ronnie's been red hot. He's been in the zone.
Ron Coomer.
Let's see if the Cubs can respond.
We're helping him out.
Coomer drives one into right center field. Long run, Pierre. Pierre dives, misses it. It bounces all the way to the wall.
That's a nice knock for the old hometown boy, isn't it?
Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
What a ball game. The wait is over. Right? It is over. The Cubs a World Series champion. How does that sound, partner?
1999 American League All-Star.
From the American League All-Stars, infielder Ron Coomer.
The Coom Dog with Mullin Haw.
Woohoo!
On 670 The Score.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mark Grody in for Mully. And our guy, Ron Coomer, now joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Coom is a busy man. He's in Arizona now, but this weekend he's going to be in Lockport at his place for Coom's Corner and St. Patrick's Day festivities. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, 4:30 a.m., pregame shows right here on The Score. Tuesday and Wednesday, Cubs-Dodgers. And then Coom, the brand ambassador on Cubs Radio for Yuengling Beer, the new official beer of the Cubs Radio Network on The Score, Yuengling Beer. Yes, Coom. You are doing it all. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David. Marcus, how are you? How are you guys?
Doing well and looking forward to a very busy weekend. How are you viewing what's going on in Japan and what the value is of the trip for the Cubs?
Well, I think it's important. The trip for the Cubs, to answer your question, I think it's important because you're playing two ball games and you got to win. Right, you want to win games, so those games matter. The season is starting, and you want to win. I do believe, you know, in reading some of the quotes from Counts over in Japan from this morning, it is important for our league, and I understand that fully. That, you know, it shows that baseball's a game that everybody in the world is watching. There's extreme hype in Japan over these games, and you know, some of the Japanese guys going back home to play, and two of them in particular for the Cubs. I'm really happy for them. You know, to me, I remember coming home to play for the first time in Chicago. Could you imagine being out of your country for, you know, your baseball seasons and going back to your homeland and having your country cheering for you to play, you know, for the Cubs? So that's going to be really exciting for Shota and Seiya.
Yeah, no, I think all of it's cool. All the stuff that we, you know, we had Tommy Hotovy on earlier, and sounds like he's having a blast out there. But the one thing about it at all, too, Coom, and you're right, it is good for the game. I think it's going to be neat. Yep. I will be watching closely. It's also a big pain in the butt and not necessarily ideal for the Cubs to be doing all this, is it, Coom?
Well, there is some travel issue. There's no doubt. It is a very long flight.
Uh-huh.
The good thing about that, if there's such a good thing as being on a plane too long, is it's still in spring training. So I think this is a much better situation than doing this during the regular season, because we've experienced that coming home from London and things didn't work out real well and the travel is very difficult. In season, and you get 24 hours, and now you're playing a regular season game. So at least now, for your starting nine, starting eight, and then some other guys, they're going to have 3 or 4 days to shut down and, you know, take batting practice and just kind of be like, okay, if I need sleep, I just sleep. And that's okay, and that's good. So if there's a good time to do this, Mark, I would say this is definitely the time during spring training.
Coom, got to ask you about the Bob Nightingale report in USA Today about the Cubs negotiating with Lance Lynn, who will be 38 next week, was 23 starts for the Cardinals last year. Not sure how much he has left in the tank and not sure what would motivate the Cubs who want to go that direction. What do you think?
Well, until it happens, we'll just see. What I really feel is that I think everybody in the league is looking around and seeing these things happen. You know, the Garrett Cole thing has had, you know, reverberated all through the Cactus League over the last few days. And, you know, being with some of the Yankee people at Sloan Park the other day, you know, you look and you start reevaluating again here towards the end of camp. Do we have enough starting pitching? Mm. Is there someone out there that makes sense? And, you know, as a pitcher and financially, and you know, so I think some of that probably has something to do with it. And maybe it doesn't for the Cubs, but I think, David, at the end of the day, you need pitching, you need more pitching, and then guess what? You need more pitching than that. So that's my take on it, right? You can't have enough pitching.
Well, let's stay on that, because one of the guys that David and I, Coom, were just discussing and what his role will be this year is Ben Brown, because you are looking at the end of that rotation because Assad is hurt right now. You've got Steele, Shota, Tyone, and Boyd. But do you look at Ben Brown as his best work being ultimately as a starter or out of the bullpen?
Mark, I don't. I don't look at it either way. My thoughts for Ben Brown, and it's, you know, not my decision by any means. We all know that. But my thoughts of Ben Brown are just get this young guy healthy, right? Let's make sure he is okay. Let's make sure, which he is. He's been pitching in spring. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that everything is going the right direction for him, because he is one of those big-time talented arms. So make sure that everything is going the right direction. Then that's that arm and his skill level of what he brings to the table will figure itself out real quick. You know, it's like having an elite player and he's been hurt and you're not sure what you're doing. And then all of a sudden, okay, now we've got him. What do we do with him? It'll figure itself out because he's really good. Those guys, you know, he's not the 26th guy in the roster. He's an elite arm. So those things figure themselves out quick. But it's got to be healthy. He's got to be clear in the head that everything is okay. And once he's that, and he might be, but once that's the case, that roster situation and where he's at will figure itself out quick.
So, Kumi, you know I'm an avid listener during the spring training broadcast, even because of the insight you provide in some of these prospects that we don't always see. And I do appreciate
it. Can you take him out for breakfast, please? He needs to find a hobby.
I'm going
to
put some cinnamon pancakes in this guy after the show, Wildberry.
I need some Yingling, Coom. Some Yingling.
I can fix that in 2 days, David.
Please do.
All you want.
All right. I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, we digress. Last weekend is Saturday or Sunday, but I believe you were talking about Moises Ballesteros and mm-hmm. the impact and impression he left on you. I was intrigued because, look, as a Cub fan, you hear that and you think, my mind goes to Kyle Schwarber. Have bat, will travel. A guy that's going to be in the league for a long time. I don't know if that's a good comp or a bad comp, but I want to know what you saw specifically to make you feel like Ballesteros is going to be a guy that's going to be a big league hitter for a long time.
Just the way he swings the bat, David. He covers the plate. He covers the strike zone. He sprays the ball around the field. He's not, you know, he's not strictly pull and elevate, you know, and trying to just go deep. He's going to have good at-bats against anybody that's out on the mound. So left, right, good slider, power guy, sinker guy, he can cover the strike zone. And you just don't see a lot of that. You don't see the guy that can take the high fastball away and shoot it to left field as a young left-hander. Then they throw him a slider down and in, and he can hook it and hit it for a home run. He just has great plate coverage. He has a great sense of being able to get the barrel of the bat to the hitting zone all the time. And you watch him, and that's just a unique talent. And he has it. He's gonna step right out and be a quality hitter. I don't care what league he plays in, he's going to hit.
Love hearing that. I see a Ballesteros for both of you guys, and let me raise you all, if we're doing the prospect thing here really quickly, a Kevin Alcantara, who came from the Yankees in the Anthony Rizzo trade, just to show you the consequences here. But what did you think of watching him, and how do you project and when we might see him playing in the bigs, Coom?
I would guess if something I think it's, you know, the outfield right now is really full. So that's an issue for him.
Yeah.
So I would say he's probably going to, if I don't know if he's going to make the team or not, you know, here in another week, once the team gets back home from Japan. So he's going to be, I would guess he's probably going to go to the minor leagues, and he would be the first guy called up.
Okay.
Him or Ballesteros would be one of those things, would be the case. If we need an outfielder, he's probably going to be the guy, right? So you look at him, he's got talent, he can run, he can hit, he can throw, do a lot of things. But he's in a spot for the Cubs right now where they're full with outfielders. So, those two guys are kind of, you know, button up to that ceiling of where do they go, you know, with the Cubs roster right now, just to start the season. things can change in 2 weeks. They really can. Mm-hmm.
So could we know that Matt Shaw got on the plane to Japan? He is in Tokyo right now. Nico Horner did not because he's not ready to start Tuesday international opening day, but he is eyeing the domestic opening day in Arizona as his debut. What do you know about Nico's progress? He's in Arizona now. Is he going against live pitching, or what does he do when the Cubs are out of town?
He is hitting. I don't know if he's seeing live pitching. I would assume he is because we're only a week, you know, what are we, the 27th is the opener. So, you know, we're still, you know, we're not far from that. So I would assume, I have not seen him take live BP. I've seen him do everything else but live BP. And I've seen him on the field. I would say he's probably pretty close, but we'll have to see. You know, they're going to be pretty, what would you say? They're just going to be pretty aware of anything that happens with that arm, you know, with him throwing and swinging a bat. It did affect him when I asked him, it did affect his swing last year. So, you know, that'll be the final straw. It's facing 95 mile an hour fastball. And when you turn on it, how's the elbow feel? How's the arm feel? You okay? And so we'll see how that goes. But I would think that's probably going on right now here today in the next couple of days.
There are always fun things that happen on opening day in baseball or even at the start of seasons. We mentioned, you know, Tuffy Rhodes has to come to mind. I remember Ian Happ opening up with a home run. I believe it was in 2018.
First pitch
against the Marlins. Coom, what do you think of when you think about that kind of stuff? And is there a guy on this roster? I'm not necessarily saying he's going to go Tuffy Rhodes, but somebody who's going to get off to a hot start, maybe relative to what you were seeing and the sound you were hearing off the bat of one of the players, or maybe it's a pitcher.
I would say, you know me, Mark, I look more at the position players.
I get it.
Secret.
Yep.
Yeah. You've experienced that, you know, and so what do you got? Let's talk about the players. I would say the guy that really stands out to me in camp, this spring has been Pete Carr Armstrong.
Nice.
The two young guys that have really taken a step forward, Pete and Michael Busch. I think both of them have taken a major step forward. Michael looks really confident playing now. He there's no issues at first base. He looks confident at the plate. I just think he's taken a big step. And Pete's had an incredible spring. Really has. So if there was one guy I would say that is like ready to burst on the scene and get a great start, would be Pete Crow Armstrong.
Love it.
He has swung the bat well. Defensively, we all know he can do that. He can really fly, and he's looking to take bases, which I love because the opposing team just hates that. And for opposing pitcher to have him on base is going to drive them crazy. So Pete's kind of my pick to click early in the year because he's hot, he's confident to get off to a great start.
I love it, Coom. Safe travels back, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, David. I really appreciate it. Mark, always great to talk to you, buddy.
Same,
guys,
man.
Have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Same to you. Same, and buddy. Coom will be at Coom's Corner in Lockport this weekend for all the St. Patrick's Day festivities. And then here Tuesday and Wednesday, 4:30 pregame shows, Cubs and Dodgers, the season starting right around the corner. He'll be at Wrigley Field for those. And then, of course, he's the brand ambassador, the new brand ambassador for Cubs Radio for Yuengling Beer, the new official beer of Cubs Radio Network on the Score.
Oh, Clay, you know this, man. He's like my favorite, one of my favorite all-time guys that I've coached. Just, you know that human part of it. So you're around him, and he's just a good dude. I mean, just all around a good dude. Tough, dirty, dirty, tough. He's going to do Chicago, just a heck of a job. I mean, he's so complex. But the thing you got to do is you got to be able to manage this cap thing, and it's a nightmare that way. You just, if you're not going to push a ton of money forward, then you got to manage the cap. And it gave us that opportunity to maybe move Joe and move him into a place that he really wanted to come to. And so you, at the same time of taking care of ourselves, we were able to take care of Joe that way.
Welcome back. It's Mullin Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Mark Grody in for Mully today. That was the voice of Andy Reid, and he was on with Clay Harbor and Cam Smith on the Better Angle on the BetMGM network over the weekend, which brings us to our next guest who joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, new tires for spring, Aturo.com. Clay Harbor interviewed Andy Reid over the weekend, also played for Andy Reid as a Philadelphia Eagle. Andy Reid was talking about Joe Tooney. Joe Tooney was Clay's roommate in New England. A lot of connections here, Clay. A lot of connections with Andy Reid and Joe Tooney. Let's start with Tooney. What kind of leadership, how would you describe the impact he will have on the Bears locker room?
Joe, like I said before, David, and I think I said this on the Big Pro Football Show, is Joe isn't the rah-rah, let's win one for the Gipper, let's go out there and get them type guy. He's a guy that's going to lead by example. He's going to come out, he's going to practice hard every day, whether it's OTAs, whether it's training camp, whether it's an in-season practice when you're a little banged up. He's not only a guy that doesn't miss games, he treats practice like a game. So if he's playing the game, he's going to play in practice. And this is a guy we're talking about that played in, started with 146 games in 9 years and only missed two of them, David. You've missed more time on the score than he has played professional football. Okay, this guy is going to be there. He's going to show up. Okay, and that's the one thing you got to know about Joe is you can count on him. And his leadership style, if somebody needs something, they want to ask him anything about a play. I spoke on this, but this guy is extremely intelligent. I remember back when we were learning a playbook, we'd be back in our apartment quizzing each other, and I've been in the league for 7 years having a system already for how to learn a playbook, and this guy coming from NC State, is he just knows everything. Off the top, this is New England Patriots playbook, and he played and started as a guard with Tom Brady when they won a Super Bowl as a rookie. And being in a huddle with Tom Brady isn't like being in a huddle with a normal quarterback. They're not calling the plays at a decent rhythm. Tom Brady speaks like an auctioneer. All right, we got green right, 373, white stick, X, go. You got to know your stuff because he wants to get the play out as quick as possible so he can get to the line of scrimmage, make his adjustments, look at the defense, do all the motions so he can get the hints, the tells for what the defense is going to do. So that's how impressive Joe Tooney is.
Well, and it's so important to Clay that Caleb Williams feels comfort this year, because part of the problem obviously was, you know, all the sacks that were handed against Caleb last year and the sacks that he took because he didn't look comfortable so much of the time. Tooney can bring that part. Is Tooney going to have to adjust at all of a sudden going from those guys that you mentioned in Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and now he is essentially with a quarterback who is starting from the beginning again this year?
Oh, yeah. Tooney went 25 straight regular season games. He allowed a sack in the playoffs, but 25 regular season games without giving up a sack. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I think, is a little bit different in the sense of, he does hold on to the ball, but he does know how to get it out quick when he has to. Tom Brady, a guy that didn't take a lot of sacks just because he knew exactly where the pressure was coming from. He would get them in the right protections. He's looking. You're not going to trick Tom Brady with anything. I don't care if you are Brian Flores. I don't care if you are some of these Aaron Glenn, some of these big-time defensive coordinators in the NFC North, Jeff Hafley for the Green Bay Packers. You're not going to trick Tom Brady. As a young player, sometimes you might get Caleb Williams a little bit, out of sync, right? He might not be able to make the right call in the offensive line, but I think a guy like Drew Dahlman, Stanford guy, very intelligent, academic all-conference, dad played in the league for 8 years. This guy lives and breathes football, so I think he can help with that a little bit. But I think there will be a little bit of a learning curve when you're playing with a rookie quarterback, just knowing that you're not going to be in the perfect call all the time. You might get a couple more one-on-ones. You might have an unblocked defender that has a hit on the quarterback more so than you would with a guy like Mahomes or Brady.
We're talking with Clay Harbor, my colleague at CHSN here on The Score, Mully and Haw with Mark Grody in for Mully. So, Clay, you played 8 years in the league for several different teams, the Eagles, the Jaguars, the Patriots, and the Lions and Saints. So you know how the offseason works. I'm just curious, when we see yesterday and you hear from Grady Jarrett and we heard from Joe Tooney, and today we're going to likely hear from Drew Dahlman, and just the infusion of this veteran, respected talent and accomplishment, when does this culture that everybody talks about and values? When does this culture start to take shape for teams coming together for the first time? Is it April when players report for the first time? Is it training camp? When does that process begin?
Oh, man, it begins in OTAs as soon as you step in that building. And that's something coming from Jacksonville when I went to New England. You know, I signed and it was before OTAs, right? So you go in there and then you're in OTAs. And what I saw in New England compared to Jacksonville was, in Jacksonville, kind of like, hey, you're getting back with your buddies for summer camp. You know, you do a little workout, you learn a little bit of the offense. In New England, I'm like, do we have a game coming up next weekend? Why is everybody acting like we must have a playoff game? Because they are learning this offense like it is the last thing that you're going to do. You are working out hard. When you get on field and you're running through plays, these plays better be perfect, or Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are going to let you hear about it. I was telling you yesterday, David, about a story in OTAs. We're playing 7-on-7. And our ball boys would have these glorified tennis rackets that they would have as like a defensive line to make it so Brady would have to find holes to throw the ball through, get it over a defensive line. And I remember one time, you know, a ball got batted down and 7-on-7, and it was third down, so we had to go off the field. And Tom was about to lose his stuff. I'm like, this guy's acting like this was a playoff game, third down to go down the field and win the game. That's how serious some of these guys take this, the New England's, Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs. So I think you can build that importance. You can start putting that on the field, on the tape, and showing the younger guys that every practice means something. Every workout means something. Every film session means something. And I also told you, how about the first day I go into meetings, Tom Brady's in the front row taking notes. He had been in this offense for 16 years when I got there in 2016. So that's how important it is to those guys, and that's what they can bring and start changing the everything that way.
That would be eye-opening to see Tom Brady sitting in the front and be like, man, you better fall in line if that guy is in the front row taking notes. I can see that for sure, Clay. With the acquisitions, with Joe Tooney being here, Jonah Jackson here, like you mentioned, Drew Dahlman, whom we'll speak to today out at Hallis Hall, does this mean the Bears now will draft Tyler Warren out of Penn State, the tight end at number 10 overall?
I'm not sure. I think I wouldn't mind them still going trenches, Grody.
Okay.
I think that it's like Howie Roseman says, you can never have enough. When you think you have enough, you need to get more. And I like Jonah Jackson. I think he's the one guy that listen, he's played in 29 games out of the last 51. So if he gets hurt and goes down for an extended period of time and you don't got a solid backup, I mean, to me, that's like how we felt when Tevin Jenkins was hurt. It's like, didn't we all know this was going to happen before the season? How is this a shock to some of us right now? So Braxton Jones, you know, he's been healthy mostly, but a guy coming off an injury, maybe some depth there, some depth at guard. Defensive end, yeah, I think Deo is a nice pickup. I think that you still need another big-time edge rusher.
Uh-huh.
I think that's important in this defensive scheme. D.C., he needs another edge rusher. So for me, you got Cole, and I think he hasn't been utilized to the best of his ability. The guy only got 55 targets last year, and everybody wants him to have 80 catches. It's not going to happen when you have 55 targets. It's not possible.
So, Clay, you talk about Dayo Odengbo, and he did receive the largest guarantee of any of the Bears' free agents, and I think that there's potential there, but there hasn't been the type of production typically that edge pass rushers have when they sign those kinds of deals. What do you think the Bears saw in him, and what's reasonable to expect from a guy that hasn't had the big sack numbers?
Yeah, you know, David, I was texting with my former coach, Gus Bradley. He was the defensive coordinator with Dayo Odengbo in Indianapolis. And I go, hey, coach, you know, I just want you to, like, speak on Dayo. And what he spoke on was his character, was his work ethic, and how much this guy cares. And I think that's what the Bears are banking on, is a guy that wants to get better. He's only 25. He has everything you need as far as the size, the athleticism. And they're banking on his upside. And he had 8 sacks a couple of years ago, 17 quarterback hits both the last 2 years, which would be second on the team. But you know, Dennis Allen, likes guys that are big and can run and play against the run in the past. So I think maybe if you're basing it off of production, it's definite overpay. It's an overpay. You can't even say it's not. I mean, this guy's a top 20 paid edge rusher, and I think he's, you know, like 50th in sacks. And if you look at the Pro Football Focus grade, like 60th, I mean, he's an overpay. But I think when Dennis Allen looks at a guy and says, he can play in my system, I can work with this guy, you got to trust that, and you got to think that he has a plan. And a guy that's been as good as coordinating defense for as long as he has, to me, I trust that. So I assume Dennis Allen is going to have a plan to put him in a good position to be the best of his ability, and then a good plan to develop him.
Stick with the defense here. What did you make of Grady Jarrett yesterday, his press conference? I think he wowed the crowd out there. And what he can bring is the three technique.
Man, I already bought my Grady Jarrett jersey.
Seriously, man.
This guy was good, man. The thing that I took from him, the one sentence I thought was the best thing, and I think that kind of shows his personality, he said he can't wait to share his experience and hunger for greatness with those who want to achieve it.
Ooh.
So you're bringing this guy in, and you got young guys, you got Dexter, you got a bunch of guys
Pickens.
That you're going to try. Yeah. Pickens. Yeah, I was going to say Pickens. I'm like, I don't know if I want to say Pickens or not.
I haven't given up on him yet.
You know, the third round curse for the Bears. But Pickens, Dexter, these guys are going to have someone in the locker room with them every day, in their meeting room. This is their immediate family. Your team, they're your cousins, right? This is your brother, your sister. These are the people you are with every day, you're closest with. You are literally following them around. And when you get a veteran in there and you're trying to figure out your routine, how to be the best player, how to have longevity like this guy's had. Besides last 2 years ago when he tore his ACL, this guy doesn't miss games. He had one game where he played 14, one year he played 14 games. The rest of his career, he's played at least 15 or 16 or 17 games. This guy takes care of his body. He's a guy that practices hard. And he's a load on tape. I turned on some of his film, and you heard how Ben Johnson talked about him. Like, hey, when we game plan to get this against this guy, you talk to Jonah Jackson. He's a guy you have to know where he's at. He's a guy you're going to leave the game with some bruises. You got to make sure that you're sliding protections towards him. You got a plan. You're trying to get four hands on him, at least three, at least an extra post hand when you're leaving him one-on-one. So he's a guy that's going to be really good on the field. I think he's still got some gas in the tank, especially the way he sounds. But off the field, share his experience and hunger for greatness with those who want to achieve it.
Ooh.
I think that's going to help Pickens and Dexter a lot.
Put it on the gram.
That's great stuff, Clay. Yeah. We really appreciate your time this morning. We'll see you this afternoon. Don't be late.
Yeah, I won't be. Appreciate it, guys.
Clay Harbor.